This is Mike Evans with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Outside the, you know, in an arena, and I hit somebody by accident. We ran into each other, and he had a beer, and he spilled the beer, and I looked at him, he looked at me, he goes, "Hey, don't worry about it." You know, but if you go to those smaller, you know, where tickets are $10, there's a fight.
Right.
But when you're paying $1,000, it's like, all right, dude, I got
the beer. The beer costs more than the ticket to Venturi.
Right? Yeah, no, for sure.
So you're definitely going to be.
So what I'm getting at is, I had the Four Letter Network on this morning, and I don't even remember what guy it was. I think he's from Atlanta. And I didn't hear the question. I just heard the answer.
Okay.
And then the schmoes are like talking about it. So I guess they said, who do you like watching or what do you like watching? And his answer, Jorge Masvidal.
All right.
You know, so again, I think it is gaining.
Sure.
You know, whether it's the ESPN, whether it's, you know, that so many stars are now getting back involved because of the new ownership with the Halle Berry,
right?
You know, and that big auction item and stuff. So I find it interesting, but it's still not where a lot of people believe it is. Gaining.
Sure.
And I think it'll continue to gain. I think last 10 days, well, really it's now 2 weeks because it was Wednesday, Saturday. People that wouldn't have watched, didn't want to watch.
Right.
Did watch because it was the only thing next to Korean baseball.
Right.
That's another good thing the virus is helping.
What's that?
Number one, no Rays baseball. That's the number one thing the virus has helped us with. Number two, no spitting. When baseball comes back.
There's no spitting.
There's no spitting.
Wow.
There's no
sunflower seeds.
There's no sunflower seeds.
Wow. No Gatorade.
There's no Gatorade showers.
But can they share the Gatorade? Like, are they allowed to still drink
as long
Gatorade?
As it's out of the same bottle? No. I'm being sarcastic. Now, if the virus can just help throwing the Gatorade cups on the ground. Right. I've never understood that. I have absolutely never understood that. Here's something else, and I threw it out on the Book of Face last night. Nothing to do with MMA. We'll talk a little baseball for a second. So I'm watching Game 6 of the World Series,
okay.
The Cardinals and Rangers.
Okay.
The Rangers are one strike away from winning the World Series.
Okay.
They fight through it. Then Freeze is the big hero. That's the year that he's the MVP. Freeze hits a home run in the bottom of whatever inning it was. I think it was the 11th. And they first jump on top of him and beat the crap out of him.
Sure.
Which I don't get. He just won the game for you.
Right.
Yet now you just beat the living snot out of him.
I was like,
you know, and then, hold on. And then they rip his jersey off of him. So he has no clothes on. I don't understand that. Now, we go back to Altuve when he homered, and this is all part of the alleged, you know, mess about, you know, their cheating scandal.
Sure.
Where he allegedly yells, don't rip the jersey, don't rip the jersey. And they're saying it's because he had the beeper on him that they would send an electric when it's a fastball or whatever. I don't understand the theory, the thinking. Guy just homered. We just won a game in the bottom of extra innings. Let's rip his jersey off.
Well, I mean, you came from a place where they broke a guy's arm for hazing because he made a promotion in rank. So, I mean, there's a lot of unknown reasons for motivation.
I would rather break your arm honoring you for whatever reason.
Take it off the clothes of a naked pizza man.
Well, I definitely don't want that. But maybe Freeze would have liked to have kept that jersey. I don't know. Yeah. He just won a World Series.
But the question
game is,
how much more valuable is the beeper from Altuve's jersey on the open market for, like, collector
than the
value
jersey itself?
I mean, way more valuable.
So
if you could own that beeper that was on his body when they won the World Series.
I've got one very similar to this.
Do you?
Very similar. So we're in the studio, Bubba's studio, and we're doing a show back in the day.
Okay.
We're still raising funds. It was when we were raising funds for the Ryan Bennett Memorial Fund, where we were raising money for Ryan Bennett's widow and children due to the accident. And I won't say who the person is, even though he did it. So It's not like I could get sued for it. But everybody was trying to send items for me to auction off.
Okay.
So the Bennett Foundation, you know, would get some funds. So this person had tested positive for a banned substance.
Okay.
He offered to mail me the half-used steroid bottle.
Really?
Very similar to the Altuve alleged beeper. Now, I informed him that mailing steroids over the state line is not appreciated, and I think I'll pass.
Speaking of, like, snitches, Canseco would have got involved. He would have told on all y'all.
Yeah, probably.
Like, forget Horace Grant. Jose Canseco is the ultimate snitch of all sports, all time.
All time.
Who's the bigger snitch than Jose Canseco?
The Laker.
Well, the one.
Just saying. That's pretty bad. It's still not his biggest snitch.
Right.
I don't know. We'd have to really. Whoever threw the Chicago Black Sox under the bus.
Well, what did they do? What did they?
When they gambled on the World Series and they all got blackballed and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So somebody had to know.
Can we bring Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame yet?
No, and now even less. Did you hear the latest?
No.
He had corked bats, allegedly. How about that?
Oh, no. That's come
killer.
On, Petey.
I almost.
Why, Pete? Why?
I almost can take the gambling more than I can take the corked bat.
Not the hit streak. Not the longest record.
But,
don't taint it.
The thing about baseball is, how come some cheating is okay, but some cheating is not? So, like, greasing the baseball.
Right.
The knuckleball and
like the COVID spitball,
all that kind of stuff. It's illegal. It's frowned upon. But we're all like, way to get away with it. Or the guy then, I don't remember who it was. He had a nail file in his back pocket and he got caught for buffing the ball up.
So I gave him a grip.
And when they came to him, they came out to the mound and they made him stick his pants in there and he like pulled his hands out and he tried to like throw the nail file far away. And you can see the nail file kind of flying over there. I mean, that's okay. And we laugh about it, but it's still cheating.
Yeah.
Why is stealing signals as you're standing on second base? You're stealing signals.
Sure.
But you can't steal them from a camera in center field.
Yeah.
You're stealing them from second base.
I just say, like, just there are no rules. Just let the best team win.
Are they written or unwritten?
Doesn't matter. Just the winner wins. Like, if you get more points, you win.
Whatever
you got to do to get those points. Win.
I think more catchers should do what happened to me when I was playing big leg baseball.
Run over you?
No. I'm batting. He's catching.
Huh?
Say it back to you.
You're batting.
He's catching. And he was telling me what was coming.
Oh, okay.
Now, it's for one of two reasons. One, he knew that we were friends. And he was trying to help me.
Okay.
Or two, he knew how bad I was. And it didn't even matter if I knew what the pitch was. I still wasn't going to hit it. So in the middle of the guy starting to warm up, he would tell me the pitch. And I'm moving up or I'm moving back in the box.
Right.
As he's in his windup. Because fastball, you move back in the box. Curveball, you move to the front of the box.
Give you more time to react to
it. Right, to the fastball. Okay. Gives you more time. Curveball.
I'll be honest. I want Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. But if he corked bats, I don't know if he deserves it. But everybody cheats. Don't they all cheat?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And what's a cork bat really do for you? You still have to make contact with the ball. Still hand-eye coordination.
Unless you're...
Joe DiMaggio, he never was known for being a home run slugger. It's not like McGuire.
Unless you're Sammy Sosa, and when you take a swing and one part of the bat goes left and the cork goes to the right.
Right.
That happened. I think it happened against the Rays.
But what I'm saying is, like, he was never known for that. He was always known for being a contact hitter, getting on base. A cork bat wouldn't really
improve. And coffee and Marilyn Monroe. That's what he was known for, those three things.
But I mean, you know, the hand-eye coordination, Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hit streak is probably the greatest sports feat of all time. I mean, nothing's been even close to breaking that. It's probably the hardest thing to break in sports records.
I don't know. I mean, it's difficult. Don't get me wrong.
So for Pete Rose to have the number of hits that he had for a career, you know, like, that's hand-eye coordination. That's bat speed, and that's, I don't think it has anything to do with the cork.
I'm thinking. I mean, the cork, I would assume, is more to help. You know, home run hitters.
Sure.
Then slap hitters like Wade Boggs, like Pete. Did you see the photo I finally found?
No.
I've been looking for it for 3 years.
The Mickey Mantle?
No. It's a photo of Al Raboski and Tug McGraw.
Oh, really?
Two of my favorite players. So I finally found it, and the picture was taken at the old Vet in Philadelphia. Good stuff. Good, good stuff. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about, I promise, pull it up. We'll talk about some of the fights that we remember.
Got it.
Hopefully you remember more than I do from the last three events, UFC Fight Night, Fight Night, and 249. So we'll get to that when we return. Then at the bottom of the hour, Westerfer Sims III will be on to talk about his buddy now going into the UFC Hall of Fame, Kevin Randleman. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Song. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chad Johnson. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxen millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Taylor, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, I got a couple questions for you. And I promise we are going to talk about the last three UFCs, but a couple issues, some things that are really burning and bothering me.
Okay, what do you got?
Now, we just had Usman on.
We did.
And we talked, I talked to him about the alleged scared, and of course he's not scared to fight, Masvidal or anybody else.
Okay.
All of you knuckleheads, Khabib's not scared to fight Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje, Conor McGregor. He's not scared.
Right.
Stipe Miocic is not scared to fight Daniel Cormier.
Right.
Get off it.
He's scared of fighting Francis Ngannou, though.
like Usman said, we all should be scared of Ngannou. I mean,
after a 20-second beatdown, you know, anybody speaking that man's name is in trouble.
Maybe.
Just give him the belt. You don't even have to fight for it, bro. Just here. It's yours.
I'm sure Stipe would be against that. I'm pretty sure he would.
I don't know.
Again, I'm trying to imagine this. A guy runs into a burning building, but he's scared to fight a guy. Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Now, again, one has nothing to do with the other.
Of course.
I seriously doubt the heavyweight champion of the world is scared to fight Daniel Cormier. Even though, if Cormier would have fought the right fight, he'd still be the champ.
He would. Yeah, absolutely would be. And he would probably go down as the GOAT. If Cormier would have won that rematch against Stipe.
Well, he can't. He can never be considered the GOAT because he could never beat Jon Jones.
That's true. But if he would have beat Stipe, who was the only four-time defending heavyweight champ
means
of all
nothing.
Time.
Doesn't make him
and
the GOAT.
And he beat him two times.
Doesn't make him the GOAT because he couldn't beat John Jones.
The asterisk and the steroid would have put asterisk as a Jones.
I disagree.
And it would have been, Cormier would have been the GOAT.
I disagree. And as a former voter of all that silliness, I disagree. I don't think Daniel Cormier can ever be considered the GOAT because he could never beat John Jones. How can he be? How can he be? How can you rank him higher than John Jones? Right now. Now, if John Jones goes up and maybe doesn't do well in the heavyweight division, then maybe you can't. You have to look at that. But what if John Jones does go up there and fight Ngannou like they're talking about and he wins?
No. Then what's above goat?
Seagull. then he's the seagull.
Like a mountain lion. Like,
what'd you think of the Angela Hill fight?
I thought it was a close fight. I mean, she was visibly upset. She was very upset. She thought she beat Claudia. I thought Claudia won. I thought she did enough to win. But I thought, you know, she was.
I can't speak on any of it.
Okay.
Well, just because I watch it differently. You know, if I can remember as I'm sitting in my lazy boy recliner and I'm watching, I'm watching it as a fan.
Right.
And I'm not watching it as a judge.
Right.
So as much as I want to say yes, no, or indifferent, I'm having a fight with myself, my inner self right now.
Okay.
Okay. Help me here for a second.
All right.
I cannot believe I'm asking you for help.
Yes.
But I said to Kamaru, and I mean this, I enjoy watching the fights with no fans in the crowd.
Okay.
I enjoy watching the fights with me not in the crowd.
Correct.
All right. Right. I enjoyed.
In your human touch chair, just watching the fight?
Well, no, TV? I haven't watched it in the human touch
chair. No,
no. No, I get in for the 30 minutes.
Because you wouldn't be awake. You would be asleep before that.
Probably. I will tell you this, as whoever is my witness is my witness. 2 seconds after the Walt Harris fight was stopped, I was asleep.
Where you at?
Greatest night of my life. Those days of watching the last fight in Vegas at T-Mobile and then hauling butt to the airport, and I'm hoping that they're over.
It's a tough role, man. The media is not an easy job.
It's not. But here's where I'm having an issue. I thoroughly, and I'm not saying for shock value, I'm not saying. Do you consider me a shock jock?
No.
Because the former Buccaneer does.
Really?
Yeah. The one we've been talking about, which I don't think I am. So here's where I'm struggling with myself.
Okay.
I thoroughly enjoyed all three UFC events with no crowd. I don't know why. I just enjoyed it. It was kind of like The Ultimate Fighter. I don't know. I enjoyed it.
Sure.
But I can't watch WWE without a crowd. Is it because it's scripted?
Probably.
You know, and they both did the same thing. And I kind of thought one was humorous and one I thought was corny.
Yeah.
Which, again, is my problem. You know, I throw the WWE on and they walk out to their music and they look to the crowd. Well, there is no crowd.
Peter Soto throwing his hat into the crowd. There is no crowd
right.
to catch it.
But that was funny.
Right.
You know, or the fight comes out and they kind of look to, I don't know why. I found that funny and I found the other kind of stupid.
KT throwing the interim belt on the ground is like, I'll wait for the real one.
But that has nothing to do with crowd or no crowd.
Right.
But
it's theatrical. It's scripted like WWE. Or it's kind of like.
But that, you know, him doing that with the belt had nothing to do with crowd, no crowd.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He would have done that crowd. He would have done that no crowd. But I know a lot of people thought that Angela won. There was a couple other fights that people were very upset with the decisions. But again, 29-28 literally can go either way.
Absolutely. And if you didn't do enough to convincingly win against a higher ranked opponent, then you shouldn't win. I mean, if it's that close where it could go either one.
Please don't say something stupid.
What?
Go ahead. Finish your sentence.
I'm just saying, like, if you have to convincingly win to
beat
the...
What's convincingly?
You have to...
What's convincingly?
Just overall sense of, like, hey, that person won. I think that person won.
But...
The judge's eyes, it's important.
But as a judge...
You're going by numbers.
No,
I get it.
Right, but you're going...
One strike more than the other person.
You're going by
landed.
Rounds. Well, it's not just strikes, though. It's octagon
control, right.
It's aggressiveness, it's all that. But I still don't understand what decisively means.
I'm just saying, you should watch the fight and you should know who won. Should be like, oh, okay, that person, I think that person won.
And I guarantee you...
That person did enough.
And I guarantee you all three judges and instantly knew.
And if it's tied, then you give it to the higher-ranked person because, you know what? They defended their stance. They stood their ground.
I knew your stupid comment was coming.
They stood the ground and they did not get beat by the younger, you know, hungrier person coming up the hill.
Okay.
Get the pun? Angela Hill? Get it? Angela Hill?
Your comment is so stupid.
Why?
Because if it's a draw, it's a draw.
No, it's not a draw. If it's a draw, then the winner still stays the champ.
This has nothing to do with the champ. There were no champs that fought.
Yeah, but if you're a higher-ranked opponent.
You said a draw. If it's a draw, it's a draw. And if you won, you won. And if you lost, you lost.
But you don't take away the ranking of the person that
first of all, the rankings are a joke. Nobody cares about the rankings.
I care about rankings. I'm the number one talk show radio host in the country.
And you're a joke.
But I'm number one.
Well, I'd rather be a joke at number one than I'm with you. But it's just silliness to what you just said. If it's a draw, it's a draw.
But are you going to move Angela Hill up and give her Claudia's ranking? And because
you can't.
She didn't do enough.
You can't.
She didn't even win the fight.
No, the clowns that do the voting can't. If Angela Hill thinks she won, if you thought she won, if I thought she won, and again, I'm not sure because I didn't watch it as a judge, it doesn't matter when you're doing the rankings. You can't move her ahead of somebody who just beat you.
Right.
That's stupider than your stupid comment. And I didn't know that was possible.
Oh, I keep improving.
All right. Well, what other fight real quickly from Saturday?
Well, I have passwords on my phone now.
Oh, my God. You're killing me.
Well, it got stolen. So I did watch the Dan Ige fight and the Edson Barboza fight. Another close fight.
And most people thought Edson Barboza won.
I didn't see it that way.
And again, I don't really remember it.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch fights when you're sleeping.
I mean, it's better just to knock someone out so there's no, like,
no
judging.
Kidding.
Forget the judge. You don't even need a judge. If I was a fighter, I wouldn't even need judges. I would just win.
That's the object. Ask Dana. He'll tell you. Yeah. All right. So when we return, it's been a short minute, as you youngsters like to say, since Wes Sims, former contestant on The Ultimate Fighter. What a character. We all know him. We all love him. Wes Sims, when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yo, what's up, man? It's your boy, Juju Smith-Schuster, man. Shout out to Knockout Radio. Turn up.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Culver's Spicy Crispy Chicken Sandwich has just the right amount of heat. Gauge for yourself, hotshot. You'll need our special breading containing a pinch of hot peppery goodness. Add one natural cut chicken breast, plus crisp lettuce and tomato to keep things cool. Then savor that blissful burn.
Better yet, come to Culver's and leave the whole perfectly spicy crispy chicken sandwich thing to us. Welcome to Delicious.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is the A-Hole Show, Wes Sims here, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris, my main man.
All right, we're back to you live. Kind of like a downer, isn't it?
What is?
No, I'm just saying, like, that music just kind of brought me down.
That did it, really?
So luckily, our guest is going to lift us back up.
Pick it up.
And maybe he can help us with this Mount Rushmore.
Oh, you know,
who should go on the Mount Rushmore? Because he's into that world.
Oh yeah, the wrestler. Yeah,
he's definitely into the wrestler.
The wrestler.
It's been a long, long time, Wes Sims. How are you?
It's the Wes Sims here.
It's the.
Been good. Been real good.
How's life up there in Ohio?
Can't complain. Well, besides this quarantine lockdown, can't complain.
Well, let's get right into it. Big announcement. Yep. Saturday night, your brother, a part of the Hammer House. I always saw the three of you together in Mark, Kevin, and yourself. You even got in the clip for about a half a second. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see that?
They cut me short.
Yes, they did. if he would have taken one more step, you might have seen it. Did you know? And what was your reaction Saturday night?
No, I didn't. I didn't know. And just shocked, overwhelmed.
Tell us, tell us a little bit about Kevin.
We don't have enough time, Randy. We don't have enough time. All I can tell you is that guy, Mark said it really good in an interview I saw where everybody came around Kevin. Everyone come into the room. He would light everyone's spirits up. You know, I mean, he'd come in, he would yell, and he'd be your best friend. He'd never be he could scare the hell out of you, and you'd think he was the worst nightmare, but he was always your best friend.
I do remember that of him, that, you know, he was the type of guy that, you know, he could tell, kind of like Mark is. You know, to be honest, I mean, like, he's gotten in my face a couple times, but we're such good friends that you don't take it personally.
No. The thing with Kevin was, the big one for me was, and really, I never really talked about this. Mark's brought it up a couple of times since, but Mark and I mean, Mark put me through the ringer. And the way he trained, the way he expected, was more than, at the time, I could mentally handle. I mean, he crushed me a couple of times. I remember Russ Hellickson had a OSU wrestling camp. And, I mean, I never wrestled, but that was training. And Tommy Rollins, Mitch Clark, I mean, we're talking that all national champions there as coaches. And when they're done with the kids, with the program, it was training for us. So it was sharp day. I mean, it was a fresh one of them on my tall, skinny rear end, and I got real tired real quick, and Mark realized, I told him, I can't do this, and it really wasn't the training, it was just the mental part of it, and me and him stayed friends, but if you go back to UFC 43, Kevin was in my corner. Kevin was the one that more or less coached me.
Interesting. What, give us like one fight that you were at, you know, and I've always talked about this. It's kind of like there was an event here in Tampa, I don't know, 8 years ago, six, 12, whatever. And these two young kids came up to me, you know, I would say 21, 22. And they said, any chance are any UFC fighters here? And I said, yeah, at that booth right there is Sean Sherk. And they had no idea who he was. And it kind of was mind boggling. Tell a story, you know, for the younger generation that, you know, they've jumped on the MMA and we're welcoming every fan, obviously. But, you know, may not have known Kevin. You know, now they're going to go in YouTube and Google and whatever. But give us a story from a fight, you know, the first fight that you can think of that the monster was in.
The first fight I think of is the greatest fight that I've ever been part of. Anybody ask me what my greatest fight is, what mine was, it wasn't one that I personally fought in. The greatest fight I've ever been part of was Kevin Randleman versus Mirko Krokop. I mean, it was such an awkward warm-up because everybody in that arena, everybody in that country thought he was going to kick Kevin's head off. And I think Kevin kind of thought he was going to kick his head off, but wasn't going to have it. And, wow, when he hit him with that left hook, and then he just froze. He kind of froze, like, just like when he threw Bader on his head. He just froze for a second. I think he was in awe himself. And I remember yelling at him, finish him, finish him. And Chuck was beside me. Chuck was yelling. We were all yelling and finished him off. At the time, the unbeatable Krokop, Kevin knocked him out. And that was unbelievable. Beautiful.
What was it like watching him, whether it's, you know, in the back at a UFC or Pride or wherever, nicest guy, like a lot of fighters are. It's their job. I get that. But Kevin was just such a quiet, nice guy. And when did that switch click as they were walking, you know, down the ramp, once he got into whether it was the octagon or the squared circle or whatever? What was that like watching him turn from a quiet, calm human being into, I hate to say it, but a monster?
There was times where it happened in the locker room. He was ready, and when he started thinking about the fight and getting into the zone, he would rip, yell, terrorize people. The Japanese were so scared of him, but he never meant any harm on any of them. He'd just yell, and when he'd yell, it was like a lion.
Definitely good times. I'm very excited for you guys. I'm not letting you go. I have one more question for you. But just saying, I'm extremely happy for you and Mark and the Randleman family and Hammer House and the whole nine yards. So good times, whenever that may be, if they're still going to do it in July at International Fight Week. I'm sure they'll announce that soon. We always talk, you know, about the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. You're a big Ric Flair. Matt, his mentor, is Terry. You know, obviously, I was very good friends with Randy. And I said, you can't put all three of them on Mount Rushmore because there's so many great wrestlers. Not to throw you under a bus or on top of the mountain, but who would your four be?
My four?
Well, I guess I should correct myself. Let me correct myself. Who would your other three be? Because I know Rick would have to be your first one.
Rick would definitely be up there. He'd be on that. I think Hogan. I think Hulk. Hulk was my hero growing up. Say your prayers, he's a vitamins, kids. I would put Hulk up there because he changed the WWE. I'd put The Undertaker up there. I would put The Undertaker up there because The Undertaker has had such a long career. And the last one, I don't know. I don't know. I'd leave that to question mark. Those would be my top three, though.
That's your three and a question mark. And I did just see The Undertaker's, special and the whole thing. And it kind of like what we were talking about, you know, it puts things in a different light now. You know, we're talking about the Michael Jordan, and do you look at Jordan differently? And I got to be honest with you. I've met The Undertaker, Mark. You know, we did an event here, the whole nine yards, and I didn't think of him the way that I do now after watching that show.
Taker's awesome. And, I definitely think he deserves to be up there. If you go all the way back, Bruno Sammartino, older ones, I don't know. That's why I'd leave a question mark. I'd leave a space because I'm not quite sure.
Everybody else, Mount Rushmore is four, but not Wes. His Mount Rushmore will be three because that's Wes.
That's Wes.
What I would do is, I'll tell you what I would do. I would probably, since we're in the age of technology, I would probably put a big digital billboard up on the fourth head, and it would be a revolving face. It would be, we would have Randy Savage, we would have Terry Funk, we'd have all these different ones, boom, 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 loose ends, we'd have them all going through. They'd all get their moment to shine on Mount Rushmore.
I like it. I like it there a lot. Wes, I promised 10 minutes. It's 10 minutes. Thank you for your time. Stay safe. Say hi to your family, and you need to get back down. You need to get back down here, and then Matt will introduce you to Terry, and we can hang out.
Let's do it.
Hey, you never know what I'm going to do yet.
Oh, I know. Believe me, I know you well enough to know that statement's true.
All right,
Wes. Thanks a lot. What did he start to say? No.
Please. That's for the address. Like, send him down.
He was like in mid sentence, but that's Wes. Because like I promise, and then you know he'll complain to me. You said 10, and it went 11.5. Next time I'm on, I'm only going to do 8.
Bring him down. I'll put him to work.
One of the first things that comes to mind, and before we hit this break, early UFC. You know when Wes fought Frank Mir, and Frank's on top of him. And Wes is flipping him off from the bottom, which is Diaz now, but that was right. Wes then.
Of course.
And then the fight against Mike Kyle, and he got bit. Wes got bit.
Okay.
And I don't remember who the ref was. I think I do, but I'm not going to say names in case I was wrong. They said he didn't get bit. That was back when I was in the front row of the media, right? So Wes comes by, and he comes up to me,
and he shows
me the bite mark, and it was massive. He goes, I didn't get bit, but what is this? I go, oh, it looks to me like a bite. I don't know what to tell you. Mark Coleman got so mad at me once. I thought that he was going to kick me in the head.
That's not who you wanted to be mad at you.
He said, I quote, but I can't quote because I don't remember exactly what he said. But he said, Wes Sims would be a champion if he would stay off your blankety-blank radio show. He spends so much time entertaining on your show
that he's not
in the gym training.
Wow.
So
who's more dangerous, Francis Ngannou or Mark Coleman? Who's more terrifying to fight?
I'm going to say Mark. Back in the day.
Even now?
Even now is different because he still has that bad hip, so even I can outrun him. But but back then, I'll tell you what, people were scared of Mark Coleman. They were scared. They were pretending to be hurt so they didn't have to fight him.
Have you seen anything like it since, like anybody else?
Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Coleman, Mike Tyson, kind of very, you know, believe it or not, and everybody's going to give me a hard time because I'm the blah, blah. I was going to say, you know, I'm on the train, which is bad. I think people were afraid of Matt Hughes, you know, just because Matt was so dominant. You already knew what Matt was going to do. He was going to pick you up. He was going to body slam you, and he was going to beat the crap out of you, carry you to the other side, back over to his corner so Pat Miletich could yell sweet nothings into the air. But obviously not in the same.
That's the golden era of UFC.
Oh, it was the best.
That's the golden era. I mean, you talk about golden era bodybuilding and, like, you know, back when Arnold and was on the throne. For me, that was the era. Like, the Matt Hughes, Frank Trigg, like, that era. Like,
I got stories. I got stories. They disliked each other so much, and I was friends with both of them, which made it extremely tough. And I know I've told the story where we were in Atlantic City, and Frank came up to me, and we're in the back, and Frank goes, I'm going to make you choose. I go, what are you talking about? I'm going to make you choose. Kind of like that Rocky Balboa. What do I owe you?
Yeah.
You're going to owe me. What do I owe you? And he would keep saying that from like event to an event. And back in the day, event to event, we're talking every 3 months. We're not talking every 3 days.
Right, right.
So, you know, I see him in Atlantic City. I'm going to make you choose. And then I'd see him 6 months later. I'm going to make you choose. What are you talking about? And finally he said, I'm going to make you choose, Matt or me. And we wasn't quite, I mean, we're great friends now. We were good friends then. And I said, well, I'm going to be honest with you. The closest it will ever be is 51-49. You'll never... You know, Matt and I were, now I'd say they're both 50-50.
Right.
You know, but it was just funny. And then finally he goes, I'm going to make you choose. I said, you'll never win. Never. And the hardest fight for me to ever watch, Matt Hughes, Matt Serra was difficult. Eve Edwards, Joe Stevenson was difficult. But the hardest one for me to ever watch was Matt Hughes, Frank Trigg.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite fights was the hardest fight ever to watch. And I told them both, I'm going to be more upset for who loses than happy for who won.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm big on, and you know this, I don't show emotion. I don't cheer. I don't any of that stuff. And my emotions of that fight went from, holy crap, Matt, I can't believe, oh my God, Frank, unreal, just on a dime. But, yeah, Mark Coleman, baddest dude I've ever been around in that period. You know, I've met Ngannou. I've met him at Adam Hunter's show. But it's different seeing these guys at fights, seeing them in the fight, like I was just talking to Wes about. You know, how Mark Coleman and him, when they would be with Kevin Randleman, he would go from a pussycat to a monster.
Right.
But you want to not enjoy, you want to experience the monster part. You know what I mean? You want to experience that.
Of course.
Experiencing what we did in Augusta, Georgia, watching people petrified of Mark Coleman, watching people doing it for the money but scared to fight Mike Tyson.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And Ngannou was probably getting there.
Sure.
Maybe one more. If he does one more where he almost takes someone's head off.
I mean, well, it's going to be Stipe's head or...
Well, it's not.
Or Cormier's.
Yeah, probably won't be.
No?
He'll probably fight one other time, I would assume. If Cormier Miocic isn't until the end of the year, Francis isn't going to wait a year to fight.
Okay.
You know, and my whole thing is, and I think his is as well, if you're the baddest dude around, why wait?
Right.
I'm going to beat you anyway.
Right.
Why would I wait to fight you? If you're the number one contender and you are going to fight the winner of Cormier Stipe and you're, well, you wouldn't be number one, then you'd be number two. What difference does it make if I wait for the belt and then I fight you, or I fight you and then I fight for the belt? Other than if you lose, you lose your title chance.
Sure.
Like Tony Ferguson. Big ups to Tony Ferguson. He didn't wait.
Yeah.
Because, and that was his thinking. I'm a fighter. And what difference does it make when I fight Justin Gaethje? Right?
Yeah. I mean, in theory, yeah, it works. But now he's down the list and he's going to have to wait his turn. And that fight waited 3 years already.
I still say, and as per the ex-Buccaneer who thinks I'm a shock jock, I'm not. I still think Tony Ferguson will fight Khabib. I still think it happens.
After he loses the belt?
Uh-huh. I think if he loses the belt to Justin Gaethje, that then they, because you can do that then.
Right.
Then that fight is still makes sense.
Sure.
Not that Tony Ferguson, I don't know who would be. I don't want to see Conor fight him again. I truly, truly don't.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't see that either.
So we're going to blow through letting the station know. We're going to blow through the break just so we can talk gibberish if there's any of the fights. And what you said.
Yeah, so they're trying to do the fight night. Tyrone Woodley is slotted to fight.
Gilbert,
yeah. May 30th, and they're trying to do
at the Apex,
Las Vegas,
right?
Apex.
And I don't know why they wouldn't do it. I don't know why Nevada isn't going to allow it. Well, Vegas isn't going to allow it. That's what it's set up for.
Yeah.
They just proved in Jacksonville in 10 days that it went flawlessly.
Yeah.
You know.
Any word on the BKFC? Do you know, has it been pushed back to July?
What I do know is David Feldman was meeting with his, I meant to mention this earlier, with his attorneys. And he has promised me that he will hold all that information until next Wednesday at 3:15.
Okay, because I got Jared Warren. I'm talking to him now.
But are you his agent now?
Well, I'm not his agent, but I'm his fan. You know, I'm a fan of, and then when he fights, I'm just like you. It's going to be hard for me to watch, you know, because
well,
I'm
no,
like the guy.
It wouldn't be hard because you'll be in the stands as a fan.
No, I'll be in media.
No, you won't be.
Well, maybe I'll corner him, but I'm not throwing in the towel. Sorry, Jared.
Then you can't corner him.
Well, yeah, because the corner has to, you know, protect him at all times.
Exactly.
But he doesn't lose. If you notice in his photos, he always has his hand raised, and he's a true hero, first responder. And so thanks for all you do, babe.
Baby?
Oh,
now you're baby?
That's my fighter.
How many times do you know this? How many times does Justin Bieber say baby in that song?
I don't know. You listen to Justin Bieber?
No, it was just a question on the wall.
I thought you're a big Canadian fan. You like?
Oh yeah, I'm a huge Canadian fan.
You love things from Canada, don't you?
Aren't what?
You,
Facebook
you,
Canada.
Aren't you a big Facebook fan, like of Canada? Like, you just love things from Canada.
Name one thing I like in Canada. Shake. I like Shake.
Theodora. Alatas Theodora.
Yeah, I do like him.
That's your like number one fan, like your fighter.
What does that even mean? That's my number one fan fighter.
That's your guy.
Yeah, it's my guy, but what does that mean?
I'm just saying, like, things that you like from Canada.
Yeah, Elias is a cool dude. Shake is a really cool dude.
GSP, the goat?
He's not the goat.
No.
He's the goat of his city, maybe. He's not the goat.
He's a legend.
He is a legend. There's a big difference between a legend and a goat.
Right. Now what do you got on the Facebook? Grossman?
No, it was Wes. Oh, he's making a list of people he wants to meet.
Yeah, you want to meet me?
No, he doesn't.
Bring him down here.
Honestly, he said that if it means not meeting Hulk Hogan, that's fine. That he'll not meet Hulk Hogan if he can stay away from meeting you.
Listen, have him come down. We'll put him on. He can do deliveries, pizzas. We'll take him to firehouses. Well, I guarantee you, they're not going to stiff him on a tip. Wes Sims doesn't get stiffed on a tip by a 13-year-old girl. I guarantee it.
I'll take the bet.
Yeah, I think.
If she has no money, the dad paid for the meal.
Well, the dad's not going to stiff. Nobody's going to stiff Wes Sims. Just saying.
Okay. I think he will come down because the only thing that I think he's bigger than wrestling, like The Undertaker is his guy. Undertaker and Ric Flair are his two favorite. When we went to WrestleMania in Orlando, when it was Ric Flair's final match, he was ringside, as was I, but right. He was the next section over. And he made a comment that I believed. Like when you say stupid crap, right. I know it's stupid crap. Right. When he says stupid crap, I tend to believe him.
Okay.
He said that if Ric Flair needed his help, he was going in.
Oh.
And I was concerned. Because when Ric Flair was getting beat up,
really? I thought
he was going in. Yeah.
You don't think I would do that?
I also thought that I would take his chair, too, if he went in. Because, you know, you got to keep the chairs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I had to carry four chairs home. I'm like, everybody that I was sitting with, they're like, I'm not taking the chair. Bring it home for me. I'm like, what? And then I thought, you bought my ticket. Okay, I'll carry your chairs.
Do you have the chairs in your storage unit?
I do.
Really?
Yeah. In the store.
Well, I'd like to buy one of those.
I don't sell nothing.
You go there, can I win one of your chairs that you give away?
You know, I mentioned that maybe we'll do it next week. I found a couple UFC 6 posters.
What?
UFC 6.
Wow. Who was on that card?
I don't remember.
Oh, wow.
I think it was Severin Shamrock, maybe.
Wow. Oh, that might have been Detroit. Was that Detroit?
Well, no, Detroit was later because...
That's seven?
It was probably later because I was going to go to Puerto Rico. If Ken would have won that fight, then he was going to Puerto Rico. And then that whole thing went down and they went before... You know, the judge, and they were going to shut him down, and they couldn't punch and couldn't slap and couldn't this and couldn't that. But, yeah, it's definitely after 6.
UFC 6 was Casper Event Center. Ken Shamrock versus Dan Severin.
Pretty sure I just said that. Pretty sure I just said
that. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Dude, I want that poster. I don't know what I have to do to win it.
I don't know.
Let's frame it and put it in the pizza shop. Right here in the UFC corner.
That's not even my favorite one. The Japanese one is cool.
Yeah. It's all in Japanese. But you can't read it.
Which makes it cool. I wished I would have gotten one in Brazil, too.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been cool when I went down there for the Anderson fight. But the Japanese one is very cool.
So those are the Casper, Wyoming. That's where UFC 6 was held.
Have you ever seen the video of the commercial that Ken Shamrock did? I used to work for a nonprofit. And... A part of the proceeds from whatever the UFC was, and I've put it on Facebook, was going to go to the nonprofit that I worked a deal with, SCG. So Ken does the voice of the commercial, and then the commercial ends at Tampa General Hospital daycare center.
Oh, really?
Where a bunch of kids are playing in a sandbox. And it's probably, my son is maybe 6, and my daughter's probably 2. And yeah, it's kind of cool.
So here's the headline. They how far the sport has come. UFC 6 review. Ken Shamrock versus Dan Severin. Tank Abbott nearly kills his opponent. That's how they wrote the story.
I have said this numerous times. I think I've said it to you. It's been documented. People have asked me, who would you pay money to see? Like, it was just on Facebook the other day. What athlete would you pay money to see? And I said, now or ever. You know, I've always said I would have paid money, fortunate that I didn't because I was media, but to watch the Green Bay Packers and Brett Favre play the Buccaneers and Warren Sapp.
Right.
Then I argued with people about Mike Tyson. I would want to watch Mike Tyson back in the day. I wouldn't want to have paid for it. I bought tickets to the Bayfront Center. I believe it was the Michael Spinks fight. $60, $50, whatever. And my dad and I went, and the fight was over in 4.5 seconds.
Right.
Now, I had a softball game that night, so that was the only fight we went for. I don't think you got your money's worth watching Mike Tyson, but it was obviously, you know, fun to watch. I loved watching Tank Abbott fight.
Really?
Loved it. We drove down and watched him fight down in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
It was probably the greatest 12, 14 seconds of my life. Right. They got to the front. They swang like they were in a bar, and it was awesome.
Do you miss that style of fighting? You miss the old days of?
It's different. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different. It was a little more. It was very barbaric back then.
Right.
You know, the groin strikes, the head butts, all that kind of stuff. I mean, the one thing that I don't like about bare knuckle, and I've said it, is the amount of blood. You know, so I don't know if I miss it. I miss a lot of things about that era.
Could these champions in today's championship, like, you know, like Usman and all the champs, could they have competed back then with, like, those rules in place? Like, were they tough? I mean, are these guys just, like, the more well-refined athlete now? And, like, it's more about points and, like, leg kicks.
It's a great question. You know, when you add the headbutts and, you know, I think the upper – I think they all could, you know, so I don't want to be disrespectful to, you know, number 14 in the rankings. you know, today's athlete is more rounded. You know, back in the day, you know, you had wrestlers. That was the whole gimmick of it. You know, you had jiu-jitsu. I think if you take today's athlete back then, they would adapt. You know, kind of like what the former cruiserweight champ Tyrone Boo said, and he learned he was definitely wrong. That when he said that he could fight an MMA fighter, that he's from the streets, it's totally different.
Sure.
Fighting in the streets and fighting in an octagon is totally different. Because when you fight in the street, you pull a knife, you pull a gun,
sure.
You know, you punch the groin. That's a street fight. You know, I think that today's athlete could A, adapt to it, and B, has been in the streets. You know, has been in a street fight or a bar fight or whatever. But, you know, we'll talk more about this next week because, believe it or not, 2 hours now is over.
Wow. Well, show get that poster over. Framed. I'm hanging it up.
Want to thank our man, your champ, Kamaru Usman, for coming on. Wes Sims for talking about the monster, Kevin Randleman. Next week, David Feldman will break dates, times, where I'll be and where you won't. Uh-huh. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. Hit me up on Twitter. At Knockout Radio.
At Nicky Pizza Man 1.
What specials you got going? We got 10 seconds.
We got the BKFC special.
What's that?
I don't know. Just come in. I'll take care of you.
What special is that? I don't know. Whatever you want it to be.
You'll miss a tooth or two if you take a bite.
What are you?
Say Anthony Smith.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, right. The Lionheart special.
See everybody next week. My face. Watching every move on her face. She said, look. What's your
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bill Romanowski, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. repair, or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors, call them today at 727-522-5070.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12-draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.